T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wandle and Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I want to welcome our special guest, President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Atlanta, Nancy Flake Johnson. How are you today?
Wandle, I am fine. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm certainly glad you're doing fine. Well, there's been a lot of emphasis on really reaching out to the millennials for that millennial vote. Talk to us about that. Why is there a lot of stress and emphasis there this time around?
Well, we're just not seeing the turnout. We've been monitoring every day, and the younger age groups that are tracked by the Georgia Department Secretary of State's office that publishes this public information is clear that the voters over 40 are turning out, at least during early voting. 40 and over turned out at a much higher percentage. However, we do know that younger voters tend to like to vote on Election Day. And so that's why, you know, really getting the word out today, really our younger voters are the key, I believe, are going to be one of the keys to the outcome of this, of these elections.
Wow.
Every vote counts, though. Every single one. If you ever doubt it, that your vote counted, my goodness. I hope we'll get to talk about some of the issues and the conditions across the state that, you know, in your day-to-day world, you might not focus on, but when you see them collectively, they tell a startling story, and one that I hope will compel people to see how the dots are connected and why voting is so important.
What are we really facing? And the challenges that we as a community at large are really confronting and dealing with that are very crucial to this voting?
Well, so these are the things that are affecting the day-to-day lives of Black Georgians in particular, but these also really affect anyone, many people across the state. So first and foremost, I understand economics is really at the top of the bar for almost everyone, right? That's been very clear. High prices at every single critical basic need point, food, gasoline, transportation, child care, all of these costs are up. And we have to understand that it isn't necessarily a party that's driving that. We have to realize we're still in a pandemic. And the entire world, the economy, shut down for a period. And that's never happened before, ever. And so it's going to take some time for the supply chain to correct itself. We lost a whole months of high level productivity. And so we're really working our way back on that. So we have to keep that in mind. But at the end of the day here in Georgia, guess what the legal minimum wage, the legislature that's in place, that's been in place for some time now, this is the state bringing us to this moment. Our legal minimum wage in Georgia is one of the lowest in the nation, and it's at $5.15. Now, what does that say about the people who are sitting in the seat that are asking us to some of them are asking us to reelect them when they think that labor at a minimum should be paid $5.15 in 2022? Right?
Right.
People in there who understand cost of living is up. Minimum wage has been brought forward year after year after year with no action at all. So think about that, $5.15. The good news is most people aren't paid $5.15, but there are people, particularly in rural Georgia, where options to work are limited. There are people, about 300,000 the last time I saw a study by the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, that actually make that. It's shocking. So that's very concerning. We need an increased minimum wage. Here's the other thing. Since economics are on your mind, Georgia is ranked number one for business 9 consecutive years by big companies. And you'd rather be recognized as number one for business than be in the worst place, right? Because theoretically, that should generate jobs and business opportunities for Black businesses and so on. Yet, we've got one of the highest poverty rates because this state has a lot of its policies have leaned more toward big business and not the citizens. So you've got this huge wealth gap that has created, which is meaning that if you look at statistics for white households versus Black, there's huge disparity, huge. And we need that gap closed. So we need people in the seat that are going to leverage the fact that the state is number one and ensure that good paying jobs and training and opportunities for Black businesses to get contracts is promoted. Right now, the most recent disparity study shows, first of all, the state doesn't even track who they're doing business with. Now, that makes it real hard to keep people accountable when they can say, well, we don't know, right? We don't know. The only department of the state that tracks it is mandated by federal law, and that is the Department of Transportation. If you get federal dollars, you must track where the money goes. And the last time a disparity study was done for DOT, it showed less than 1% of business was being done with Black businesses. Now, does that sound like a state that's looking out for Black businesses?
Absolutely not.
We're 32% of the population. We're getting less than one. It's not like we don't have Black businesses. That's an issue. We want leadership that prioritizes equity and says we want half of our citizens are Black and brown, 32% Black, about 10% Latino, 4 to 6 Asian. We're 48%, half of the state, and collectively, last study showed 14% for all of us. So there's no track record of being conscious and intentional about ensuring that this big sector of our state is equitably gaining access to the ability to build wealth. So think about that when you're going to the polls. That's critical.
That is very critical. Now, live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Tomorrow is Election Day, and the polls are open from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. Get out and vote. And for more information, go to blackradiounited.com. I want to welcome back Nancy Flake Johnson, President and CEO of the Urban League of Greater Atlanta. Nancy, I've got David Holding from Buckhead. He has a question for you. David, go right ahead.
I just wanted to ask your guest a question. Very simple question. Does she believe in the free market system?
Do I believe in the free market system? I would say yes, I do.
Okay, and? But you seem to be advocating government control of our economy when you're asking, and I think this week, I don't know if it was decided, the Supreme Court was going to make a decision on affirmative action in college admission. And I just think everybody would tone down the fire a little bit if there was a completely free market and a level playing field in business and education for all people. I think we have to get past affirmative action and just get to work and everybody have the same shot. And as Martin Luther King say, be judged by your character and not your racial group. Would you agree with that?
No. And here's why. Because here's the thing. If the world was a level playing field, your point makes total sense. But here's the problem. The problem is that from 400 plus years ago, the first time that African families were brought across this land like animals and forced into slavery, from that point to now, there has been intentional laws passed, intentional policies and practices that have oppressed Black people. So that's still going on today. There is no level playing field.
Well, and let me ask you this.
You're not walking. May I finish? And then I listen to you. So here's the thing. At some point, equity has to kick in. There've been inequities that are making it more difficult for people because of the color of their skin to access education, to access employment opportunities, to purchase homes. There's been redlining. There's mass incarceration. I got plenty more to share. So, no, we need to atone. We need to open up the doors of opportunity. With equity, you give more to the people who have less so they can come up and be a level playing field. Then we can go forward with your point with no government intervention. Here's what's happening. Big business is making record profits, but they're not increasing wages. So the free market is working against the little guy and gal. So how do you remedy that? The wealthy keep getting wealthier and the poor keep getting poorer in this, quote, free market society where everybody should be judged on their character. Yeah, that would be nice if that was real. It's not real. And I'm not saying I expect you to understand that because you haven't walked that walk. You can't possibly. But I'm sharing with you that's the walk. In my lifetime, my family was refused a meal at a cafe in Virginia Beach, Virginia. This wasn't 100 and 200 years ago. This is in my lifetime. And these things are still happening today. So who sits in these seats and passes these laws is critical because the intent is clear by looking strictly at the facts. So I ask you to consider that. That's all I ask.
Okay.
I ask you to consider that.
Let me ask you this. If it's such an unlevel playing field, how did Barack Obama get elected and reelected if there's so much systemic racism in our country?
He's one man. He's one person. I'll tell you why he got. Because
He was elected by a big majority, and not just the Black vote got him over the top.
You know why? Because there was a movement then across races wanting reconciliation, wanting to work together as one to solve the problems of all. The tone we're in now since 2016 is divide.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Do you think that Barack Obama did a lot to unite, or do you think that when he got in, he was more of an advocate than a president of all the people? Because he wanted to make up for the sins of the past.
Yeah, here's the thing. What people don't understand is being a president doesn't mean you're a dictator. He did not have the support in the Congress and the Senate, which is the way the country operates, to pass.
He did for his first term. He did for his first term, man.
For the first 2 years.
That's how he got the Affordable Health Care Act through.
That's
he did have Congress, and so he so that point, with all due respect, that's not correct.
Well, hold on now.
He did have both houses, and he let me finish. I let you filibuster for a long time.
Yes, sir.
He, in his first 2 years until the midterms, like we're going to have right now, he had total control. And
It took two years,
and then about the last week or two before the midterms, he got the Affordable Care Act passed.
Yep.
But you have to admit that Barack Obama was an advocate, and he saw that as his calling for injustice in the black community, and he wanted to help. He was a community organizer.
Okay. Absolutely.
But at some point, let me finish. I'll listen to you. What's going to have to happen in your mind for everything to be equal? What's going to be the thing that happens that says we don't need affirmative action, we don't need advantages to some people, and the government helping and choosing winners and losers? What will have to happen to let you think that, hey, we don't need this stuff anymore, let's just go back to everybody is equal?
You can't dismiss history. Nancy, I'm going to break, but you cannot dismiss history that has continued to be perpetrated throughout the country. The divide, the inequities, the disparities that are happening. I'm going to go to break, and Nancy, I'll have you to respond to David's last statement.
We'll go to break.
Thank
you, David.
Yeah. Thanks, David.
This conversation. It's important.
Live Well, Win Well is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes on News and Talk 1380. WAOK. Nancy, I'm going to have you respond to David's last statement.
Hello?
Hi. Yeah, Nancy, welcome back. Go right ahead. Your response?
Oh, yes. So my response is what needs to happen? What needs to happen is equitable reconciliation. What needs to happen is that our elected officials with community, with all the key stakeholders, need to intentionally ensure going forward that each of these critical areas of life, that there really is intentional investment in our communities, because they have been disinvested in for so long. You can't have all of a sudden magically everybody should be on the same playing field when for 400 years you've had a knee on your neck.
Yeah.
You've got to go section by. Let's start with education. Let's talk about that. Georgia is only one of 8 states in the entire nation that has not changed its formula for funding education. It is still driven by property taxes. Well, property taxes means that the wealthier communities, those children will get better education because the amount of monies invested in their school districts are bigger than poor communities.
Mm-hmm.
42 other states have figured out that that is unfair. And they have invested more in poor communities to bring us to this level playing field, but not here in Georgia. That means our children get an inferior education, and you want to know why the playing field isn't level. Let's start there. Look at mass incarceration. Georgia incarcerates more people. Wait till you hear this. This is shocking. More people than any other democratic country in the entire world. We incarcerate per capita more people than the United States as a whole and any other democratic country in the world. Wow. We throw people in jail. That's what we do. And then guess what? More than 50% of the people that are in jail, guess who they are?
You know? Us, yes.
Okay, and then out of those people, disproportionately Black men. Now, when you cut off people's economic opportunity and back people in a corner, what do you think people do? It's a survival thing. And so, and several prisons are privately operated in Georgia. Georgia's prison system is abysmal. Treats people terrible. It's under investigation right now. It's the practices of disenfranchising Black inmates more than anybody else. People are, the key is thrown away. The key is thrown away. Mm-hmm. And so there's disproportionate incarceration of Black men, which disrupts what? The family. So Black men, when you think about what you vote for, remember, in this state, you are a target. You're incarcerated at a higher rate. But you're kept connected to the system longer than any other state in the nation. Georgia is that state. Good Georgia. So let's keep going. Because the other thing I want to talk about before we end is health care. Since 2014, this state legislature has had the opportunity to expand Medicaid, which would cover 500,000 more low-income and rural citizens. Flat out refuses to consider to do that. So these people are, that says, in the middle of a pandemic.
In the middle of a pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, and that has contributed to 7 hospitals closing, 6 of them in rural communities, where people now have to drive an hour and a half to find a doctor or some kind of medical facility. People are dying. And this legislature says, clearly to me, yeah. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs could be created, more hospitals, more resources. And the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute has study after study to show doing that is better for the state, but it isn't happening. So, you know, think about who do you trust? Who is going to advocate for you? These conditions must change. And so when we look at everything that happened, then you have a legislature after the 2020 election, when the president then of the United States calls our leaders to change the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
When they look, folks, some folks decided, I don't want to take the risk of going to jail. I'm not going to do that. But guess what? The very next legislative session, what did those same folks do? They got together and said, well, let's pass some new laws then,
yep,
on voting access. Take away the drop boxes. Make it harder for people. It is now open season on challenging voters. Any citizen can just challenge without reason, and that is happening. Last I heard, and this was 2 weeks ago, I'm sure it's much higher, 65,000 votes have been challenged by random citizens, mostly Black people, and people who have what they need, but now they are forced to vote provisionally, which means if they don't cure whatever the assertion is, their vote won't count. Now, why is that considered fair? You're supposed to make it easier for people to have access to the ballot box, not make it harder. So, folks, now there's even the ability of a one-party legislature to take over polling places. We're not through yet. We got to vote tomorrow, but we got to see what happens the next day.
Right, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have to turn out in record numbers, because there's going to be shenanigans. And we're going to have to be very intentional about who we want, get out in droves, and give this election a shot at being fair and equitable. But sitting on the sidelines should not even be a possibility, because without the push for representation, and especially in this climate where there's very sharp divides on, there's no spirit of coming together and let's work these problems out.
Oh, yeah. There's not a spirit of that.
No.
Not at all.
No. And we've seen from January 6th, some people in this country want another civil war.
Yes, they do.
Clear.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
And in this state. In this state, too.
Yes. By passing open carry laws for guns. And then they claim they're concerned about crime. But you can take a gun on a college campus, no background check. Really? This makes our state safer? Wow.
Not at all. Yeah.
No.
Not at all.
That's where we are. That's where we are. So, folks, please don't sit on the sidelines. Get out. These things are important. Health, education, opportunity to work, access to contracts for Black businesses. This is everything.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We're fighting for more than just those things, y'all. We're fighting for the soul of the country and democracy and basic freedom. We've seen they're already, the Supreme Court, based on who is in control, put the people in there to take away a woman's right to have control over her health. If you don't want an abortion, don't get one.
Absolutely. That's right, Nancy. And I'm so glad you brought that up as well, because it goes beyond just what will happen for the residents of Georgia, but really worldwide. And we can certainly make a difference if we show up at the polls on tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Nancy
and,
Flake Johnson.
And stay in the line.
Yeah, stay
Thank
in that
you.
Line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Nancy, for sharing.
Thank
Have
you,
a great
Wanda. You're always.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you so much.
You're more than welcome, love. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Take care. President CEO Nancy Flake Johnson of the Urban League of Greater Atlanta.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.